Have you ever seen anybody become transfigured? Have you ever seen anybody become transformed in front of your eyes and so that they look completely different? I want to tell you, you have. You've seen someone become transfigured more than once. I remember my mother could become transfigured like no one I'd ever seen before. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this someday. I went out one time, I was about 5 years old, it was Sunday morning. We had 9:30 Sunday school. We were going to leave at 9 o'clock. About 8 o'clock, 8:15 or so, I went up to Mom and I said, "Can I go outside and play in the sandbox?" And Mom said, "Take off your shoes and your socks and don't get dirty, then you can go out and play in the sandbox." So I went outside and I played for half an hour and had a wonderful time. Mother stuck her head out about 5 minutes or so before 9 and called for me to come in, and so I got up and ran into the house, and as I came running towards my mother went from her normal, lovely, placid, welcoming self to this vision of anger as she saw me covered with dirt. You know that appearance that mothers can get when they get very angry? And it looks like, as Bill Cosby once said, the skin pulls away from the skull. And laser beams shoot out of the eyes and burn the tummy to pieces. That look, the look. I mean, Sandy has it really good. She can do it like no one I've ever seen, except my own mother when she was mad at me. The look transfigured my mother. Transfiguration is a very simple concept. It means that your figure or your appearance, external or internal, has been transformed. And you would be amazed, I'm often amazed, at how just a simple expression, a grin, a frown, a cocked eyebrow, can transmit incredible amounts of information, can transfigure someone's face so that they look completely different. Rich Little once said that the art of looking like some other person is more in the expressions that you take on than even in the voice that you imitate. And that's so very true. We can transfigure our appearance through just a simple expression. My mother, disgust. My mother's disgust look is she purses her lips and then she pulls them over to one side. She goes, and I knew she was disgusted. You can go from anger to happiness overnight, instantly. Transfigurations of appearances. It's something that we're familiar with. But what we have today in the gospel lesson is more than just an exterior physical transfiguration, transformation, if you will, of the appearance of Jesus Christ to the disciples. It was far more than a physical, external event, because not only was Jesus' countenance changed, his appearance, but the way in which the disciples looked upon and saw Jesus also changed dramatically. Jesus wasn't there alone any longer. Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver, the one who established the character of the nature of the relationship between the Israelite people and God, the establishment of the law from Mount Sinai. Moses, one of the most important Hebrew figures, was present with Jesus. Likewise, Elijah, another extremely important Hebrew figure, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived in Israel. He was there too. Not just how one lives in relationship with God, but how one lives in relationship with each other. These two great figures were there with Jesus. And Jesus took on the glory of God on that mountaintop. As Elijah and Moses talked with Jesus, Jesus' appearance was changed. And Peter, James, and John, Peter being the impetuous bumpkin that he was, always sticking left foot in mouth, he did exactly what we would do. Not knowing what to do, he said, "Hey, you want us to build y'all three dwellings, three tents that y'all can stay in for a while?" And then this great big cloud overshadows them. In the Gospel of Luke, the same word is used for what God would do, the Holy Spirit would do for Mary so that she could have a child, Jesus, by miracle conception. That the Holy Spirit overshadowed her so that she could conceive. Likewise here, the same word is used, that the cloud overshadowed them. In other words, moved them out of the way. And God's voice said to them exactly what God's voice said at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son. Listen. Listen to Him. Don't be running off at the mouth, Peter. Listen to Jesus. The one who's being transformed, transfigured in your midst. Listen to Him. Listen to what He has to say. Follow Him. No simple earthly, humanly transfiguration here, my friends. This is a transfiguration of divine proportions, of spiritual proportions, not just the physical exterior, but of the internal spirit as well. When Peter, James, and John looked upon Jesus on the mount there, they saw Him transfigured into the glory of God. Interesting image. It's a parallel image to what would happen at His crucifixion, when on the cross, in full humanity, He would die for our sins, with a thief on one side and a thief on another. Here at Transfiguration, we see Him in the glory of fullness of God, with the lawgiver on one side and the one who establishes right relationships between us, the prophet Elijah, on the other. Interesting parallel. Here we have a vision of Christ in glory, risen from the dead prior to the event. That's why Jesus said, don't tell anybody about this until after it happens. Until after the Son of Man has been raised. Don't tell anybody about this vision, this occurrence, this transfiguration. Until then. Here we have several images. The image of Christ on the mountain being transformed. The image of Moses the lawgiver. The image of Elijah the prophet there speaking with them. We have disciples doing what disciples do, which is get in the way. And being told to be quiet and listen to Jesus. We have all these images coming together for one purpose today. And that's to remind us that just as Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, so also we can be transfigured. We don't live a life of simple physicality. We don't live a life that is simply encased in a shell of flesh, without spirit or soul. We live a life that is alive in the Spirit. We live a life that is living with Christ. We live a life that is empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit, transformed and transfigured to live as Christ, with the light of Christ shining through us for the world to see. When the disciples looked at Jesus, they saw Him in such incredible glorious majesty that they couldn't really look directly at Him. His clothing looked like it had been bleached whiter than any bleach could ever do. He was glowing in dazzling brightness. So also, my friends, we are called to walk with Christ in such a way, to attend to the sacraments, to receive the means of grace in such a way that through our walking with Christ and walking with each other in the community of the faith, we might slowly but surely take upon ourselves more and more of the characteristics of Jesus. This is a very old Methodist concept. John Wesley spoke about it back when Methodism was but a revival movement within the Church of England. It's the concept known as sanctification. The idea that we are not left as sinners, forgiven sinners, but that God will take us and transform us and transfigure us into the glory of the likeness of Jesus Christ. Just as Christ was transfigured into the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration, so also you and I have the promise that we can be transfigured into the glory of the likeness of Christ. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are fallen. Yes, you and I can do nothing on our own. But God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, can transform us, can transfigure us into the likeness of God. I like to use the illustration of a piece of radioactive material, plutonium or uranium. You hold it in your hand, you hold it long enough, and the radioactivity in that element will literally damage the cells in your hand, and cancer may result. You cannot stop it from happening. It will happen if you hold plutonium in your hand long enough. Likewise, or conversely, actually, living with Christ, walking in the footsteps of the Master, walking with Jesus, you do it long enough, you cannot help but be transformed for the better. The Christian life is not just about salvation. The Christian life is not just about coming to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't know Christ, now's a good time. However, it's not just about that. The Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey. The Christian life is not an end. It's a journey. A trip. A way of life. For we are called to go from being sinners who are forgiven to being sinners who are transfigured, transformed, changed. That's what it's about. Jesus was transfigured on the Mount to show us that we too, when we are overshadowed by the presence of Almighty God, we too can be transfigured into the likeness of Christ. By His glory and His power and His Spirit, we can take on the very likeness of Jesus. How, you may ask? By attending to the means of grace, the ways in which we receive God's love, through the sacraments of baptism and communion, through the fellowship of the family of faith together, through the reading of the Holy Scripture, through hearing it proclaimed, through singing hymns, and praying for one another. We can receive the grace which over time, bit by bit, little by little, every day, will transform us, transfigure us into the likeness of Jesus. That's what the Christian life is about. Not just your salvation, not even really your transfiguration, but showing the light of Christ through you to the world. That's what we are called to do today. That's what the story of the transfiguration of Jesus here on the last Sunday before Lent, that's what this story calls us to being truly the light of Christ in a broken and hurting world. My brothers and sisters, I invite you to come to the table today. I invite you to come and kneel and pray and receive a simple element of bread and wine, a simple element that really isn't very much when you look at it, but when you receive it by faith, it truly can and will transfigure and transform your very being into the body of Jesus. Come with faith to the table of the Lord and receive the grace that we need to walk with Christ and to be transfigured by His grace. And as we enter into Lent, as we enter into this season of preparation for the death and resurrection of our Lord, allow the grace of God to flow over you and transform you, transfigure you, so that you too might become like Christ. Come to the table of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.